Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 19th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the lights come back in Texas as attention turns to preventing the next crisis.
Senator Ted Cruz returns to the state after coming under fire for his Mexican vacation.
The U.S. opens the door for Iran, saying it's willing to discuss restoring the nuclear deal.
The tri-state area remains under a winter weather advisory. Plus, Perseverance is now on Mars looking for signs of life. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Scott Seidenberg. Rangers and Devils win. Islanders lose. The Nets beat the Lakers. And an update on the Aussie Open. I'll have that and more coming up in sports.
Coming via the Bloomberg Business App. 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 Coming via the...
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Crises bring out the best in people, character, community, partnership, together as one. SEI. Go to SEIC.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning as we head into the final trading day of the week. 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 10 points. Dow futures up 52. NASDAQ futures up 41. And the 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.30%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in Texas, where the lights are coming back on after a week of rolling blackouts. Now the conversation turns to preventing a crisis like this from happening again. Governor Greg Abbott says he's ordered an investigation.
Texans deserve answers about why these shortfalls occurred and how they're going to be corrected. And Texans will get those answers.
A little over 200,000 Texans remain in the dark, while four of the state's largest refineries suffered widespread damage. Those facilities could be down for weeks. There are many factors that make this situation unique to Texas. We get more from Bloomberg's Rachel Adams Heard in Houston.
We're off in our own little island here in Texas. We also have a deregulated power market since 99. We also don't have a forward capacity market. So there are a lot of things that make the Texas power market unique. And I think all of those elements are going to be something that need to be looked at as we try to figure out what exactly happened and how we can prevent it moving forward.
While Texas recovers from the crisis, there's still potential for prolonged fuel shortages in the area. Oil prices are coming off this week's highs, and checking them now, NYMEX crude oil is down 1.75%, down $1.06 to $59.46 a barrel. Brent is down 1.25% at $63.13.
Senator Ted Cruz is back in his home state of Texas. He came under heavy fire for heading to Cancun during the energy crisis, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
He faced criticism as well from public officials and the media for abandoning his state in the middle of a freezing cold crisis. He says the trip was suggested by his daughters, who were cold.
My intention was to take care of my family, which was the intention of Texans, every Texan across the country and across the state who lost heat, lost light. You were doing the same thing. You were taking care of your family.
And he says the trip was scheduled to last through Sunday, but felt it best to return. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Back in the nation's capital, there's news on the tense relationship between the U.S. and Iran. The White House says it's willing to meet with Iranian leaders to restore the nuclear deal. Ann Cates has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Biden administration says it is willing to discuss with Iran a diplomatic way forward to return to the nuclear pact that President Trump withdrew from in 2018. The State Department says the U.S. would accept an invitation to attend a meeting with other participants in the agreement, including China, Russia, and the U.K. European officials welcomed the overture, but Iran's foreign minister suggested it did not go far enough and called for the U.S. to first reverse Trump's sanctions before we comply with the terms of the nuclear accord. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, and thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, the president travels to Michigan today for a visit to the plant where Pfizer manufactures its coronavirus vaccine. The facility just outside Kalamazoo is Pfizer's largest manufacturing plant. So far, the U.S. has administered more than 59 million total vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Well, that visit comes with the U.S. vaccine supply set to double in the coming months. For the latest on that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
Nathan, vaccine manufacturers and U.S. officials are accelerating production timelines and signaling the spigots are about to open. This will provide hundreds of millions of doses to match the growing capacity to give shots at pharmacies and mass vaccination sites. A review of drug makers' public statements and supply deals suggests the number of vaccines delivered should rise to almost 20 million a week next month. By summer, it would be enough to give 4.5 million shots a day. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Turning to financial news now. Members of the House sparred with leaders of Robinhood and Citadel, pressing the firms on their treatment of retail investors. Robinhood's Vlad Tenev was the main target. He said his firm did nothing wrong when it restricted trading in stocks like GameStop and AMC.
Robinhood Securities put the restrictions in place in an effort to meet increased regulatory deposit requirements, not to help hedge funds. We don't answer to hedge funds.
Citadel CEO Ken Griffin didn't field quite as many questions as Tenev, but made it clear he had no role in Robinhood's decision making.
We had no role in Robinhood's decision to limit trading in GameStop or any of the other meme stocks. I first learned of Robinhood's trading restrictions only after they were publicly announced.
Testimony lasted about 5 hours. Indiana Republican Trey Hollingsworth was among those questioning the witnesses. We spoke with him at the conclusion of the hearing.
I would have preferred a hearing that was a lot more focused on some of the challenges that exist in the infrastructure of the market that created some of these issues, right? I think we should be asking ourselves whether a brokerage firm should be able to cease trading in certain securities with virtually no notice to their clients.
And Hollingsworth spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays, 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio.
Another big hearing set for next month in Washington. The CEOs of Facebook, Google, and Twitter will testify as Congress gears up for a new round of antitrust scrutiny. Two separate House committees say they'll examine the power of the major tech companies.
And breaking news on Uber this morning. The ride-hailing company has lost a legal battle in the UK. The country's top court has ruled on the employment status of Uber drivers, saying they are workers. It's a ruling that threatens the company's business model. Right now, shares of Uber are down 3% in early trading. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The latest weather system is on the back end of its track through the tri-state area, but it's not done yet. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, a winter weather advisory remains in effect for the tri-state area. It's due to the fact it's a little treacherous out there this morning with some very light freezing rain and freezing drizzle falling across the area. That should transition back to a little bit of light snow later today as we turn colder aloft. An additional inch may fall on top of the 2 to 4 inches that we've already picked up, so it does remain slippery throughout the day. The good news is systems east of us by tonight we dry out and for lots of sunshine this weekend. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. A man has been arrested in connection to an Asian woman being shoved and injured on a New York City street, a case that was spotlighted by actress Olivia Munn. Authorities say 47-year-old Patrick Mateo is facing assault and harassment charges. The 52-year-old woman was outside a bakery in Queens earlier this week when police say the suspect got into a verbal dispute with the woman and pushed her, causing her to hit her head. Munn has been speaking out about an increase in crimes against Asian Americans across the country during the pandemic. For a third time, the Democrat-led assembly has moved a deadline for Governor Phil Murphy to act on legislation setting up New Jersey's recreational marijuana plan. The new deadline is Monday. The change stems from the winter weather in the state, but also it comes as Murphy and lawmakers negotiate changes to the bills that have been on the governor's desk since December. NASA successfully landed its most sophisticated science rover on Mars. Perseverance touched down in an ancient river that may contain signs of whether the planet ever harbored life. NASA's Mike Watkins.
We have just landed a representative of the planet Earth on a place on Mars that no one has ever been to.
Perseverance had traveled 292 million miles since its July launch. After waiting months and sometimes years in Mexico, people seeking asylum in the U.S. are starting to be allowed into the country as they wait for courts to decide on their cases. It's unwinding one of the Trump administration's immigration policies. Meanwhile, Democrats introduced an immigration reform bill yesterday that aims to improve border security and offer an 8-year pathway to citizenship. California Congresswoman Linda Sanchez is one of the lawmakers behind the bill.
There will be a rigorous process for making sure that these folks should be on the path to citizenship.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, Nathan. The Nets defeated the Lakers last night, 109-98. James Harden led the way with 23 points and 11 assists. Kyrie Irving chipped in 16 points. Joe Harris had 21 points on 6 of 7 from three-point range. LeBron James made some history in the loss, becoming the third player in NBA history to reach 35,000 career points, joining Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Karl Malone. The Nets now stay in L.A. They'll face the Clippers on Sunday. Tomorrow's Knicks-Spurs game has been postponed due to a COVID outbreak with San Antonio. Knicks will host the Timberwolves on Sunday. College hoops, Rutgers fell to number 3 Michigan, 71-64. On the ice, the Rangers snapped their 4-game skid, beating the Flyers in a shootout 3-2. Colin Blackwell and Brendan Smith scored in regulation for the Blue Shirts. Artemi Panarin and Kaapo Kakko in the shootout. Up next, the Rangers are in Washington to face the Caps tomorrow night. The Devils, meanwhile, took care of the Bruins 3-2, winning their second straight since returning from their COVID layoff. Kyle Palmieri scored twice, his first two goals of the season, one of them shorthanded. Mackenzie Blackwood made 25 saves. The Devils host the Sabres tomorrow. The Islanders' 3-game winning streak comes to an end as they fell to the Penguins 4-1. Brock Nelson scored the lone goal. Semyon Varlamov made 31 saves in defeat. The two teams are back at it again tomorrow night. Tennis, the Australian Open men's semifinal is underway. Daniil Medvedev against Stefanos Tsitsipas. The winner will face Novak Djokovic in the final. The women's final is set for tomorrow. Naomi Osaka will face American Jennifer Brady. Brady making her first Grand Slam final. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Scott, thank you. S&P futures right now up almost 12 points. Dow futures up 69. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 44 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks in Europe snapping their longest streak of losses since October as Treasuries steady. While attention shifts to corporate earnings and economic data, oil adding to its recent losses. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're higher, up about 15 points. Dow futures up 81, NASDAQ futures up 55. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.30%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 92 cents at $59.60 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% or $6.10 at $17.68.90 an ounce. The euro 1.2138 against the dollar. British pound 1.3996 and the yen 105.37. Checking Bitcoin this morning, $52,866 is where it's at. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The White House says FEMA is assisting state and local officials on the ground in Texas. It comes as many Texans finally have electricity back after a deadly blast of winter this week overwhelmed the electrical grid and left millions shivering in the cold for days. A few hundred thousand still remain without lights. The extreme weather has been blamed for the deaths of at least 56 people. The Biden administration said it would be willing to meet with Iran to discuss a diplomatic way forward in efforts to return to the nuclear deal quit by President Donald Trump in 2018. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Lakers 110-96. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Bruins 3-2. The Rangers won in a shootout with the Flyers 3-2. The Islanders lost. The Capitals were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We continue to watch oil prices this morning, coming back down for a second day as wells slowly start pumping again in Texas. But the energy crisis that has had much of the Lone Star State in the dark all week long is not over. For more, we're joined by John Kilduff, founding partner at Again Capital. Great to have you on with us this morning, John. And obviously, we had a confluence of problems all at once for the Texas grid. What do you think it's going to take to keep something like this from happening again?
Well, this was such an, and good morning, this was such an outlier event. It's going to be a hard one to sort of muster the resources to fortify the system against almost a one in a million type of event. The problem they had in Texas is that unlike here in the Northeast or other countries even, they don't harden their infrastructure against cold weather because they don't expect it to happen to them. Of course, it did. They don't dig their natural gas pipelines deep enough in the ground, for example, to avoid freeze-offs. And all of their heating demand really gets translated into electrical-type baseboard or heat pumps that also put a terrific strain on the system when something like this happens. But the last time something like this happened was 10 years ago. So it's when you're sitting there in the risk management meeting, and it must be hard to raise your hand and say, hey, what if we get, sub-freezing temperatures for an extended period? Should we spend the resources to protect our infrastructure against that? And I guess that's a hard question to say yes to.
And it's a question I would imagine that oil refiners themselves are going to have to be asking themselves as well. I mean, what kind of costs could they be looking at if they do consider something like further fortification of the infrastructure?
Significant costs. The other mind-boggling thing with the refining industry in Texas is that they, too, are reliant on the electricity grid to operate, despite all the BTUs that are ripping through those plants. There have been times where just so your listeners can get some perspective here, when a big thunderstorm rolls through, believe it or not, and then lightning strikes occur, and all of a sudden we lose five refineries that go offline because the grid goes down. There's no backup there even. For whatever reason and whatever their reluctance is to spend the money on that, they don't do it. Partly because, this is an industry that operates, sort of on the edge. Margins are tight all over the place. There's plenty of competition. We just went through a wrenching period of super low prices, super low profit margins on making crude oil into gasoline and diesel fuel. So it's, not necessarily, in the budgets, to again, fortify against this. They'd rather ride out the storm, and get the paint buckets out and the hammers and shovels back going rather than sort of protect against these eventualities.
We've seen a number of oil companies apparently thinking that this has been too much of a storm to ride out, claiming force majeure in many cases. Could that have a spillover effect?
Well, at this point, they're scrambling. I mean, the freeze shut them down. This was a sort of a fully integrated disruption event. You couldn't get crude oil, natural gas out of the ground. You couldn't pump it along pipelines. You couldn't refine it. You couldn't turn it into electricity, the natural gas, that is, and you couldn't ship it then out of the refinery. So the biggest lasting effect here is going to be, I believe, greatly tighter gasoline supplies as we go into the U.S. Driving season. So consumers at the pump are going to see potentially appreciably higher prices, at least 10 cents to 20 cents a gallon over the course of the next several days here are going to hit up nationally. That's the biggest input. You're seeing crude oil prices pressured this morning because there should be crude oil backing up in the system, which should help ameliorate some of that pump price shock. But again, they're just going to try. This is like a Cat 5 hurricane that came across the producing system down in Texas that is now going to start to affect us all to a degree.
Our last minute here, John, I want to get your take on this analysis from Goldman Sachs saying the drop in output this week is being offset by demand loss. So maybe the freeze is only going to have a transitory impact on oil price. Is that what you're seeing?
That's right. That's kind of what I meant when I said it was a fully integrated disruption event. Production and consumption got hammered here. Texas, obviously, a huge gasoline consumption market, as well as the surrounding area, Oklahoma, Louisiana. We lost a lot of drivers, a lot of miles driven, so that's going to help keep things offset to a degree in terms of real siege and shortage type shortages at the pump. The major pipelines, particularly the Colonial Pipeline that supplies the eastern third of the country for the most part, their system managed to stay up and running throughout this whole thing. So that was the good news for national consumers.
All right, John, thank you for this. Great having you on once again. John Kilduff, founding partner at Again Capital. Taking a look at oil prices right now, they are off their highs. NYMEX crude down 1.6% or 96 cents. $59.56 a barrel. Brent is at $63.19. That's a drop of 1.2%. Futures moving higher. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The lights are coming back on in Texas after a week of rolling blackouts. Now the conversation turns to preventing a crisis like this from happening again. Governor Greg Abbott says he's ordering an investigation.
I want everyone to know that all of us in the state of Texas believe it is completely unacceptable that you had to endure 1 minute of the challenge that you faced.
A little over 200,000 Texans remain in the dark, while four of the state's largest oil refineries suffered widespread damage. Those facilities could be down for weeks.
Another major story we're following, news on U.S.-Iran relations. The White House says it's willing to meet with Iranian leaders to restore the nuclear deal. It's a first step toward easing tensions that rose steadily over the last 4 years. Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Iran deal in 2018.
Turning to the pandemic now, the Biden administration is preparing to double the number of coronavirus vaccines available in the coming weeks. And we get the latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, the spigots are about to open. A review of drug makers' public statements and supply deals suggests the number of vaccines delivered should rise to almost 20 million a week in March. And by summer, it would be enough to get 4.5 million shots a day. The supply surge comes with growing capacity to give vaccines at pharmacies and mass vaccination sites. Meantime, a study in Israel shows a single dose of Pfizer shot reduced COVID-19 infections by 85%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, John, thanks. On the same day, the House held a hearing on the retail stock trading frenzy. Another big one was scheduled for next month. The CEOs of Facebook, Google, and Twitter are set to testify. Story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Two separate House committees announced plans to examine the power of the major tech companies. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, Alphabet CEO Sundar Pichai, and Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey will appear virtually at a March 25th hearing before a House Energy and Commerce Joint Subcommittee hearing on online misinformation and disinformation. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And Uber shares down 3% in early trading. The ride-hailing company has lost a legal battle in the UK. The country's top court has ruled on the employment status of Uber drivers, saying they are workers. It's a ruling that threatens the company's business model. S&P futures higher, up 11 points. Dow futures up 60. NASDAQ futures up 49. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. It's the ice that is the problem today as the tri-state area is under a winter weather advisory. We had freezing rain on top of snow, and more is in the forecast before it all clears out by this evening. The winter storms have caused problems with the latest shipments of COVID vaccinations in the tri-state area. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio on the delays.
35,000 appointments have to be held back. Never like doing that. We don't want to do that. We need supply so that we can keep giving people the support they need and get the shots in people's arms so we can protect them.
At least one vaccination site in Staten Island will open later today at the Empire Outlets. The storms also closed vaccination sites in New Jersey. Authorities say 9 people have been injured too seriously after an explosion at a 3-story residence in the Bronx on Paulding Avenue. It blew out windows and sent a door flying into power lines.
Senator Ted Cruz returned to Texas after coming under harsh criticism for flying to Cancun, Mexico with his family while his state is dealing with widespread power outages. Cruz spoke to ABC affiliate KTRK in Houston.
As a leader, you need to be here, and you need to be here when Texans were hurting, and that's why I didn't feel good about it even as we were heading out. I knew why we said yes, but I was thinking it was a mistake almost from the outset.
Cruz added the impetus for the trip was because his children were cold. The U.S. has a new rover on Mars. Perseverance landed without a hitch yesterday on the red planet. NASA's Thomas Zurbuchen.
This is not an end, but a beginning. Now the amazing science starts, you know, and I'm so looking forward to the science that's coming come there. Every yard on the surface of Mars is a yard of Mars sample return.
Now Perseverance gets to work rooting around Mars for signs of life. President Joe Biden and members of Congress are calling for changes and more money to the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency. It comes as U.S. officials are scrambling to reinforce the nation's cyber defenses following a sweeping hack that may have exposed government and corporate secrets to Russia. The breach involved hijacked software from Texas-based SolarWinds. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, Nathan. The Nets defeated the Lakers last night, 109-98. James Harden led the way with 23 points and 11 assists. Kyrie Irving chipped in 16 points. Joe Harris had 21 points on 6 of 7 from three-point range. LeBron James made some history in the loss, becoming the third player in NBA history to reach 35,000 career points, joining Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Karl Malone. The Nets now stay in L.A. They'll face the Clippers on Sunday. Tomorrow's Knicks-Spurs game has been postponed due to a COVID outbreak with San Antonio. Knicks will host the Timberwolves on Sunday. College hoops, Rutgers fell to number 3 Michigan, 71-64. On the ice, the Rangers snapped their 4-game skid, beating the Flyers in a shootout 3-2. Colin Blackwell and Brendan Smith scored in regulation for the Blue Shirts. Artemi Panarin and Kaapo Kakko in the shootout. Up next, the Rangers are in Washington to face the Caps tomorrow night. The Devils, meanwhile, took care of the Bruins 3-2, winning their second straight since returning from their COVID layoff. Kyle Palmieri scored twice, his first two goals of the season, one of them shorthanded. Mackenzie Blackwood made 25 saves. The Devils host the Sabres tomorrow. The Islanders' 3-game winning streak comes to an end as they fell to the Penguins 4-1. Brock Nelson scored the lone goal. Semyon Varlamov made 31 saves in defeat. The two teams are back at it again tomorrow night. Tennis, the Australian Open men's semifinal is underway. Daniil Medvedev against Stefanos Tsitsipas. The winner will face Novak Djokovic in the final. The women's final is set for tomorrow. Naomi Osaka will face American Jennifer Brady. Brady making her first Grand Slam final. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, Scott, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
A jump in New York City real estate deals lifted tax revenue in January, marking just the second increase since the pandemic began. Sales of commercial and residential properties totaled $6 billion last month, up 38% from last year, according to the Real Estate Board of New York. New Jersey unemployment claims have reached the lowest level since the pandemic began. 11,563 new claims were filed last week. That's down 29% from the week before and lower than the 4-week average. The total of unemployment claims since the pandemic began exceeds 2 million. Well, dozens of former pro wrestlers claim Connecticut-based World Wrestling Entertainment failed to protect them from repeated head injuries. Now they're taking their case to the U.S. Supreme Court. A lawyer for the former wrestlers wants the high court to hear appeals of lower court rulings that dismissed earlier lawsuits. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Governor Abbott demanding power plants become winterized after the blackouts.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that Toro is recalling thousands of snowblowers because of an amputation hazard.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the UK hosting a virtual G7 summit with Iran and vaccines on the agenda.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about IBM reportedly considering a sale of its Watson health business.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Turning to earnings, Deere reports this morning amid expectations of improving demand. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
Analysts are forecasting net income for the farm equipment maker of more than $4 billion, topping the company's own guidance of $3.6 to $4 billion. Higher crop prices and strengthening farm fundamentals are expected to drive the results. Agriculture and turf sales are expected to rise by more than 13%. Sales of its construction and forestry machinery are expected to rise 3%. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a profit of $2.14 a share on revenue of about $7.1 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Larry. Now some other stories we're following. Shares of Applied Materials are up more than 5% in early trading. The largest maker of equipment used to manufacture semiconductors gave a strong forecast for the current quarter, helped by growing orders from chip makers rushing to produce more supply. And Renault is warning it will be another difficult year. The French automaker is coming off a record $9.7 billion loss. It says lingering coronavirus restrictions and supply chain challenges will make things tough in 2021. Renault is in the middle of cost cuts that include eliminating more than 14,000 jobs. S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures up almost 50 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Winter weather advisory till 7 tonight. Freezing rain gradually changes to another inch of light snow today with highs in the low 30s. Mix of sun and clouds tomorrow. Highs near 35. Mostly sunny on Sunday. Right now 30 in New York.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are snapping their longest streak of losses since October as Treasuries steady while attention shifted to corporate earnings and economic data. Oil adding to its recent losses. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 13 points. Dow futures up 70. NASDAQ futures up 52. The DAX in Germany up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 1.30%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2% rather, down $1.24 at $59.28 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $4.30 at $17.70 an ounce. The euro 1.241 against the dollar. British pound 1.3993 and the yen 105.36. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Senator Ted Cruz is now back home after criticism he flew off to Cancun with his family in the middle of a weather and power crisis in his state. According to Cruz, the vacation was his daughter's idea and that, quote, it was obviously a mistake. Cruz says he'll be working to find out what went wrong with the state's power grid. The United States is once again part of the Paris Climate Accord. World leaders are applauding today's formal return to the mostly voluntary 2015 agreement, saying it is symbolic and important. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Lakers 110-96. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Bruins 3-2. The Rangers won in a shootout with the Flyers 3-2. The Islanders lost. The Capitals were winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak on this morning after the retail stock mania had its moment on Capitol Hill. Much more than a moment, really, with the CEOs of Robinhood, Citadel, and Melvin Capital enduring more than 5 hours of grilling before the House Financial Services Committee. Robinhood CEO Vlad Tenev took much of the questioning on his company's decision to curb trades in GameStop and other meme shares and its relationship with the funds that underpin its business. Joining us now for more is Larry Tabb, head of market structure research at Bloomberg Intelligence. We should note at the outset that prior to joining Bloomberg, Larry and his TAB group provided consulting services to the financial services industry. It's good to have you on with us this morning, Larry. Obviously, a lot of sound and fury at this hearing, but is it going to be about more than just raking Vlad Tenev and Ken Griffin over the coals?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because that's what it seemed to be mostly about yesterday. I'm not sure where they're going to head. I think a lot of the different congressmen had their different points. Some were focused on payment for order flow. Some were focused on trying to speed up clearing. Some were focused on short selling. With each of the different congressmen getting about 5 minutes each, it was really difficult to figure who's got the salient points and what kind of legislation they're going to try to push through. So it's kind of hard to tell. They said there are going to be two more meetings in the near future. So I think the question will be is once they have more experts and a little less heat and we're over this, a little bit, a little time passes, I think we'll get a better understanding of which arguments are winning the day and if there'll be any real changes.
Well, let's take those point by point, starting with payments for order flow. Obviously, that got a lot of attention yesterday. What further sort of regulation could there be surrounding that, which has become, something of standard practice now in the zero commission environment?
They could ban it. Congress is fully within their purview to say that we don't want people using payment for order flow mechanisms. Most other countries don't allow it. That said, the payment for order flow mechanisms enable brokers to get paid for providing services as well as, given the retail nature of order flow, that retail investors get a better execution than institutions. So it would certainly harm in retail self-directed investors who would have to wind up either paying commissions or paying wider spreads or both. It would cause a lot of harm, to self-directed investors if they wind up reversing their course.
Yeah, it does raise a lot of questions about what the harm would be to the retail investor and whether it would sort of change the direction in terms of opening up the markets to individual investors.
Well, there's a salient argument that all orders should meet in lit exchanges and compete. That said, the minimum penny spreads we have in our market mean that if we don't do wholesaling, we don't do internalization, that less toxic orders are basically orders would wind up having to pay more to get executed because the spreads would be wide. What I would argue doing if they wanted to do that was move to some sub-penny spreads so that people pay the appropriate costs for order flow. That would put more flow on the exchange. That would give institutional investors a more even crack at accessing this flow. And you would still wind up with retail investors probably getting a better deal for their order flow. That said, the SEC has not really wanted to move to sub-penny ticks. They kind of feel it's confusing to investors to see stock prices at 3, 4, or 5 decimal points.
What about the question of the gamification of stock trading, sort of the bells and whistles around the Robinhood app? Is that something that you think is going to come under further scrutiny?
Whether it comes under scrutiny by the Congress or not, it'll come under scrutiny in the courts. The state of Massachusetts, actually where I am now, is suing Robinhood over this whole issue of gamification and making it too much fun and not providing enough oversight, especially around options trading and allowing newbie investors to really trade a lot of options. Vlad Tenev said they don't allow the naked writing of puts and calls, so that that eliminates some of the most risky options positions. But if you look at the state of Massachusetts suit, Some of the most avid options traders had the least amount of experience, or they were inexperienced when they started on Robinhood.
Obviously, the story is not over, certainly in the courts. And as you mentioned earlier, more hearings coming on the retail stock frenzy. Larry Tabb, head of market structure research at Bloomberg Intelligence, thank you again for being with us this morning. And in the interest of disclosure, prior to joining Bloomberg, Larry Tabb and the Tabb Group did provide consulting services to the financial services industry. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:55 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. 2020 was a year marked by the pandemic, political turmoil, and the fight for racial justice. As we celebrate Black History Month, let's also remember the push for racial equity that helped define the past year. Throughout the protests, demonstrations, and calls for change, Bloomberg Radio spoke to many prominent figures about the issue. We get more from Bloomberg's Michael Barr in this special report.
So as we go forward, what's next? What do individuals do to continue to build off of social justice movements around the world? Curtis Granderson, former MLB player and current president of the Players Alliance, knew for significant change to occur, he had to be a part of something. And that's how the Alliance came to be.
Everybody's sitting at home in the middle of the pandemic, and then we have all the social injustice issues just right in our face. Baseball players collectively were saying, hey, we got to start doing more than just posting something on social or creating a video saying we want to see change.
Steve Pagliuca, the co-chair of Bain Capital and co-owner of the Boston Celtics, did just that.
After that shooting, we got together immediately. We just announced a $25 million program. We formed something called Boston Celtics United for Social Justice. We'll be spending in excess of $2 million a year just focused on pillars. Six pillars that we've identified, root causes of social justice. They include education, healthcare, voting, bridging differences between communities.
NBA Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum knew the league couldn't just stand by and do nothing.
A day after the Milwaukee Bucks decided not to come out, is we established this social justice coalition. And we agreed to establish a social justice coalition that would be focused on increasing access to voting, promoting civic engagement, and advocating for meaningful police and criminal justice reform.
Can the Players Alliance change attitudes of people for a more positive outlook for society? That's a question we face during Black History Month. Michael Barr, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Michael, thank you. And futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up about 13 points, Dow futures up 70. NASDAQ futures up 54. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.30%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2% on $1.22 at $59.30 a barrel. Brent is down 1.5%. It's at $62.98. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $4.60 at $17.70.50 an ounce. The euro 1.2141 against the dollar. British pound 1.4003 and the yen 105.32. Our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.